I get the first mistake award this morning. Producer Robbie here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. See, I had asked Jeff O'Brien to come on the show at 7:30. He informed me he had a meeting at 7:30, but be happy to join me at 7. And I said, that's great. And then I wrote down 7:30.
Well, that's my bad. Got to catch the winds of change.
So we'll return to the MPD chief, said he hadn't seen the body camera footage, whatever, before approving the controversial hire. Got a lot of talkbacks on that as well. So we'll dive back into that a little bit later on this hour. Also tell you the story of Representative Dan Wogelmott, who was arrested for DUI. Had voted for higher tab fees, was then caught with expired tabs. It's always a bummer when that happens, Jeff O'Brien. Good morning, sir. There we go. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I'm here.
There we go. Good morning. Thanks for joining the show this morning, lawyer extraordinaire. Let's start here. We were talking about this in Robbie's rundown before. I want to ask you about this bias database reporting. It's up and running now, report discrimination, and I have several thoughts on this from a legal standpoint. First off, though, I know that you've been involved in some of these regulations when it comes to a THC in the breweries. However, Minnesota suburbs are puzzled over pot regulations while they wait for the state rules. You've got cities just all across the state that are issuing all types of different moratoriums as they wait for the rules to come down. And one of the things that we're seeing from this legislative session is they simply don't have their ducks in a row on a lot of different issues. And it sounds like a lot of these states are having trouble figuring out just how they are going to implement and allow some of these stores to begin business.
Yeah, that's true, John. This is kind of a repeat of what happened last summer when what they now call the low-potency hemp edibles were legalized with no further regulation than, the serving, 5 milligrams per serving, 50 milligrams per package, no sales to anybody under 21, is a lot of cities, the cities have, in Minnesota, have the ability to enact a one-year moratorium on, to study zoning issues and things like that. And they used that last year to, basically, for a lot of these cities, use that to put a halt on the THC sales until they could get their arms around what they needed to do. And, a lot of those cities ultimately did lift or modify their moratoria, but, they're doing something similar now. And part of it is, I'm working with a lot of clients who are exploring, having a cannabis business. And one of the frustrating things is that we're talking about an 18-month gap before licenses are going to be issued. I mean, they have to staff up this office and come up with rules and regulations, which if you look at the Office of Cannabis Management website right now, it's a one page. It lists the licenses and the fees, and that's it. And I understand why the cities are doing it. They want to hit the pause button until they get further guidance from the state as to what's going to happen here and what they can do.
Yeah, I'll run through a list of some of these here. So you got Mankato passed a moratorium lasting up to 1 year in late May, according to their city manager. Kyle Hartnett, assistant research manager for the League of Minnesota Cities, says until the Office of Cannabis Management is up and running to have some more details, a lot are just taking a wait-and-see approach. West St. Paul is likely to pass a temporary moratorium. Regulating these products was procedurally not as smooth as we may have wanted it to go, said the West St. Paul city manager. Hopkins, as Robbie mentioned in his rundown, South St. Paul city staff are working on their first steps of a moratorium. Richfield passed a year-long moratorium. So again, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And for me, it seems as if the DFL was way more interested in just getting this win in legalizing recreational marijuana than it was in doing it correctly to make sure that that around the state, people were properly aware of just how they were going to proceed moving forward for these businesses to open up.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, obviously I've been a proponent of legalization. I still believe that a legalization regulation scheme that is, has flaws is still better than prohibition. But yeah, they did pass it, I think, in large part because they wanted to pass it. You know, one of the other issues they didn't address, which has been a big concern for a lot of my bar and restaurant clients, is the insurance issue. You know, bars and restaurants can be liable if someone, you know, leaves their establishment and gets into an accident and injures or kills someone. Well, insurance companies are saying they aren't covering those claims when somebody has consumed the THC. You know, those kinds of issues should have been addressed. They should probably be, you know, next year I'm sure we'll see some more work on this. But part of the thing that it was kind of interesting to me, John, is the reaction of some of the representatives who helped pass this, who are just out of their minds that these cities would possibly do this. And it's like, you know, you can't just bulldoze everybody into, you know, going along with what you want to do as much as you want to try. These cities have these legal rights, and, you know, they feel that, you know, policy-wise, this is a good idea, and they're allowed to exercise those rights. That's just the way government works.
Before we move on to this next item, talking with lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, if there's anybody listening that's going through a similar circumstance and wants to reach out to you for any sort of assistance, how can they get a hold of you?
You can reach me at joBryan@cclawmn.com.
I'll tweet that out a little bit later on as well. Let's go here. I got a couple of questions and something we'll be talking about quite a bit as we move forward. So the report discrimination line, this bias data collecting that they passed during this legislative session. If you go to the website, the state website, they now have a page, frequently asked questions about how you can go and report discrimination. I'll read a little bit of this, and I want to just kind of pick your brain a bit. So the Minnesota Department of Human Rights enforces the Minnesota Human Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination. The law powerfully states discrimination threatens the rights and privileges of its inhabitants, of the state, and menaces institutions, the foundations of democracy. So they've set up a place where they want to hear from Minnesotans. And it says here, we want to hear from Minnesotans who believe they have experienced or witnessed discrimination. Please complete the form below to report the incident. The information goes directly to an investigator at the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. You can also call the discrimination helpline. When you call, they'll provide, you know, interpretation services. Filling out the form does not mean you've filed a charge of discrimination. We will review the information you submitted and determine if the reported incident is covered under the Minnesota Human Rights Act. So the law prohibits, this is where my question comes in, Jeff. The law prohibits discrimination in employment, housing, public places, public services, education, credit, and business-based protected class, such as race, religion, disability, national origin, sex, marital status, familial status, age, gender identity, and sexual orientation. So I'm wondering, so you now have this sort of bias reporting where you can report this discrimination, and they have this whole breakdown of how the process will work. But like, say, on the issue of gender identity, so if you don't affirm publicly, say, one's gender preference, could that potentially like count as discrimination under sort of what they've laid out with this bias data discrimination reporting?
Yeah, I think so, John. Here's the problem with this whole thing. First of all, it's not needed. We already have, there's already a process where you can file a complaint with the Department of Human Rights for discrimination that is prohibited by law. You just referenced all the various categories. I've handled some of those cases, right? So there already is a process in place. My concern with this is that, I mean, first of all, what is it going to be used for? And second of all, could this be used for the wrong thing? I mean, it sounds like a innocuous idea, right? If, you know, report, yeah, we don't want bias and discrimination. So the state wants to know that so they can, you know, attempt to try to, you know, combat it. But, you know, it's kind of funny that this came up. You know, I a few weeks ago, I think I posted on Instagram about back in World War I, this state had a commission on public safety that was set up to root out disloyal Minnesotans, you know, who were against the U.S. efforts in World War I. And it ended up being manipulated and used as a tool for discrimination and persecution of German Americans in the state. So the problem I have with these types of reporting websites or commissions, John, is, you know, human beings are imperfect. They're going to be, there's going to be human beings necessarily involved with overseeing this. And at what, and the, you just mentioned something, can be extremely subjective as to what constitutes bias or discrimination. Yeah. And somebody is going to be unfairly, you know, prosecuted or persecuted or held accountable for something that one person or maybe a small group of people feel is bias or discrimination. So this is one I would not be surprised at some point, John, if this ends up getting challenged in court, especially on the heels of all of these U.S. Supreme Court decisions favoring First Amendment religious freedom and religious expression. Can I could see this being used against people of faith who aren't towing the, you know, who aren't, you know, saying the right things or believing the right things right now.
Lawyer extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, I appreciate the time this morning. I know you're a little bit short on time. We'll get you back on again soon, and I agree with you. I don't think this story is going away anytime in the near future, and we'll see if this will be added to the list of the other challenges to what the DFL passed this legislative session. But thanks for the time this morning, my friend.
Thanks, John. Have a good day.